Hi, my name is Michael Kramer, and welcome to a podcast focused on the world of corporate real estate and everything that touches it. Today's world, there's no bigger topic than office workers' productivity, especially as we're now coming back into the physical office. Today, I'm talking to Catherine Thomas, who's founder and director of Art Acumen, a leading art consultancy. Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Michael, it's very nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. And I think just to kick things off, and so people can understand the connection between art and productivity in the workplace, but maybe you could give us a little bit about your background and how you ended up founding Art Acumen.
I have a background in fine art and design and a very keen interest in psychology. And I've been an art consultant for 20 years. I started my career with an international art consultancy where I curated corporate collections and commissioned large-scale integrated works for both corporate and public spaces. And over the last 20 years, I've specialised specifically in art programmes for the workplace. I set up Art Acumen 14 years ago with the purpose of providing a truly bespoke and high-quality art consultancy service. So it's more about responding holistically to the uniqueness of each client and using the art to articulate this. And so we look at their culture, the values, the space, and then communicate this in a creative and engaging visual language. But over the last 5 years, I've realised it's actually more than just communicating outwards to clients and visitors, and that art as a workplace tool is more than paintings for client-facing spaces. It's a highly effective tool for nurturing a progressive workplace culture for companies and their most important asset, their staff. So over the last 5 or so years, I've increasingly been talking to clients about art programs rather than art collections. And the idea that there is a continuous engagement and there's activity ongoing. So you don't just stop seeing the works on the walls. The art is working for you in a sense.
And I think that's really interesting, kind of maybe gets to the nub of one of the main areas that I wanted to talk to you about, which is this idea of how it affects the employees, let's say the people in the workplace. We're used to companies having art collections, as you mentioned, but that wasn't necessarily directed at the employees. So one of the areas that you and I talked about beforehand was this idea of well-being and how that might underpin productivity. And so can we maybe start there and make that connection for us between the art, the employee well-being, and maybe productivity?
Yes. So employee well-being is the precursor for organizational performance, and enhanced employee well-being improves networking, social engagement, team building, and ultimately engagement with the company culture and social learning, which ultimately drives productivity. And during the lockdown, I got together with Dr. Craig Knight, and we commissioned a collaborative survey and looking at well-being and productivity during lockdown. And this revealed the key to an employee's good performance was essentially happiness. And so we started to look at this a bit more closely, and we expanded into a big research piece looking at how art can be a workplace tool for the development and support of well-being. We also looked at it supporting innovation and diversity and engagement, all key areas which ultimately support well-being and productivity. We found that strong personal connections are integral to the employee's experience and a sense of belonging, as well as corporate culture and personal and professional development. And we noticed that those organisations that were able to maintain and renew these personal bonds experienced a wider range of benefits associated with productivity. So taking this forward, we're looking at the idea of taking part in creative activity at work, actually bringing people together in a sort of socially relaxed way. And those bonds were really important for what I said, being connected to the company culture, feeling a sense of belonging and interacting with other people. But beyond this, our white paper evidence is, you know, the sort of medical side of this as well. An all-party parliamentary study revealed more than 82% of people who engage with art and culture reported feeling more well. That's quite a high percentage. And the results also showed a marked increase in self-esteem and confidence, and a greater sense of control and empowerment, and improvements in psychological well-being. And an additional study found that two or more hours a week of arts engagement reported significantly better mental well-being than other levels of engagement. So there was something really interesting about that, more than other levels of engagement. The study found that the benefits of creating art or participating in the activity included a general sense of relief, overall better mental health, decreased stress, and actually a chance to process complicated emotions. And I know that this has only increased during lockdown, obviously what we've all been through, and many of us would have experienced the benefits of this. And the lockdown has been a massive personal reset on how we think about our lives and what's important to us and what our priorities are. It's no surprise that happiness, health and creativity has risen to the top of the agenda, with many of us turning to creativity often for the first time, or often for the first time in a long time, to help us feel happy, fulfilled and relaxed. And I just, another thing worth saying is that other studies show that found that art making resulted in statistically significant lowering of cortisol levels in healthy adults. And lastly, it's worth noting that even the act of doodling has huge benefits, traditionally thought to be a sign of distraction. Recent research in neuroscience, psychology and design revealed that doodling actually helps people stay focused, grasp new concepts and retain more information. So the next time you are on a call, on a client call or in a big meeting, you just look down and notice what your pen is doing. It's helping order those thoughts for you.
Interesting. I like the idea of doodling, and it's a positive thing. In about 3 minutes, you've covered off so many sort of, one, interesting areas, but two, sort of almost what I might describe as the holy grail that everyone's saying, why are we going to go back to a physical office? You've talked about culture, you've talked about values, you've talked about innovation, diversity, engagement of people. So you've talked about everything from the sort of the macro level of a company all the way down to the individual. So I think what we need to do is maybe kind of walk our way through some of those points and go into a little bit more detail, because if it really is the panacea, that's pretty fantastic. Maybe we start at the individual level, because I think when people think of art collections, or certainly I do, I've been through many buildings, and you think of banks and big insurance companies in the 80s and 90s, you had big art collections, which you maybe never saw as an employee unless you were on the executive floor. And you were never quite sure why they were there, and they certainly weren't there to as a means of helping productivity. So what you're talking about is something very different, and you used a couple of expressions. You said involvement of people. So maybe you could unpack what an art program which is helping to drive all those things might look like, or at least the approaches. I mean, have you got, you know, do you go into a company with art products and an easel and get people painting? What's it kind of look like?
Yes, I think before I answer that specific point, I just wanted to talk firstly about productivity and innovation. And I know I've briefly mentioned it in the earlier question, but we really need to understand what that actual benefit is and what it brings to a company in terms of productivity. And so innovation is what we as companies need to have bucketfuls of at the moment, because we're all reinventing, we're turning on our heels and repositioning at a rate of knots constantly. How do your staff, your workforce, how do you nurture that innovation? How do you nurture that creativity? But it's really interesting to know now that our world consumed by this pandemic, it's very useful to know that the skills that make us creative are also the skills that make us innovative, resilient, and responsive to change. So it's really important to start nurturing those skills as a workplace agenda. And creative skills allow us to generate ideas freely, make connections between diverse contexts, be comfortable with ambiguity, not knowing the answers, question and challenge in order to find new solutions, and networking and collaborating. This is where all these great ideas come from, is the diversity and the networking. But innovation is not a divine gift. It's something that we've all got access to. It's a skilled application of knowledge in new and exciting ways. And it's by cultivating these behaviours, our workforce will become more creative and innovative. This is what I'm getting down to now, but creativity depends on constantly filling the well to replenish inspiration. So we need business leaders to look towards nurturing a creative culture in the workplace and provide opportunities for creative interactions and creative thinking. We obviously realise that there needs to be a new tool set for doing this. There isn't one that exists. There isn't a real drive to nurture this sort of creative environment. Art on the walls is not going to cut it. You need to engage people with art on the walls. So we're looking at a series of activities and applications to support well-being, innovation, diversity and engagement. So these can be changeover exhibitions, they can be commissions which encompass the whole company or just even teams. So for instance, we worked with a law firm who were moving from their location where they had been for 30 odd years, and they were moving from the west of the city to right into the centre, and it was a big deal, and they all feel very attached to this building and to the space where the last 30 years had happened. So we commissioned a poet to create a collaborative poem capturing people's memories, moments of significance, and then this was published to the company. And I think that's quite important to sort of address the emotional side of things rather than just always be very about getting desks in place and making sure that everyone's belongings arrive on the Monday when they've finished work on the Friday. This poem was
just to cut across you. Sorry, I'm really curious. So when the poem was commissioned, how was that? I was going to say distributed, but how was that put to the company?
How did we do it? Yes.
Yeah. How did you actually do it? If I was an employee of this law firm, would I have received an email with a poem with an explanation, or was it up on the walls? Was it a book that was published? What's the sort of the methodology to land it, so to say?
Well, ultimately, this actually happened during lockdown. So we only really had the sort of digital communication option available to us. It would have been nice to do it in groups as a sort of a live event, in sort of smaller team groups. But what we had to do was, adapt and work within the system. So the artist created a kind of like a worksheet with prompts on, asking questions. And it was those responses to her prompts which created the themes and the narrative of the poem. So it was, what are your best memories or significant events? And what does this building mean to you? What did it mean working here for all these years? And what will it mean moving to the new space? So all this, it was an emotional journey. And I think that was really important. And everybody absolutely loved it. So yes, it was published and it was distributed to all members of staff during lockdown.
And that was going to be my next question, that the response to that, because it's a very unusual thing. I've never heard of anyone doing it, but it makes perfect sense in this idea of you belong to a company, and that's back to the culture's values piece, and your memories are all tied to buildings and clients and things like that. But the response of the entire law firm to that was very positive.
It was really positive. And I think people found it very helpful, because being disjointed and being away from everybody, they were all still going through this concept of moving to a new space, although not physically. And obviously when companies do big moves, there's also the opportunity to change culture and procedures and process at the same time. So there was obviously change happening all over the place. So I think it was a nice way to bring people together to talk about what things meant, and also to look to the future and what this new building was going to bring them as well. So it was a really nice way of engaging with the workforce, and just a creative way to do it. I mean, the idea came from a public art commission I was involved in last year, where we were trying to capture many voices from the community, all different walks of life, and create a new public artwork for a new development, which was sort of landing effectively in this community. So yes, it was a similar process. We've just obviously adapted it.
Really interesting. And then, okay, so if we then take a step forward, and I know I interrupted your flow, so to say, but you've now, the law firm's moving. Can we go back to this question of using art in the wider sense to help with the move to the new space and these ideas around productivity and diversity and innovation?
Yes. So I think we just need to see the art as something that will work for you as a tool. The other way we'd engaging with the workforce is through an annual exhibition of works on paper. And these are all works by socially engaged artists. So they're dealing with a whole array of interesting and important topics that all companies are talking about through their sort of HR channels and CSR initiatives. You know, things like mental health, sexuality, conservation, sort of green issues, and, you know, even things like AI and the ethics of AI and how do we discuss those things. And often these elements land in our inboxes. They're, you know, they're things we have to read. I mean, they're not really things we have to experience. And I think to start with the position of empathy is a good way to start looking at other people's point of view and other stories. So as well as having a changing over exhibition of really interesting topics, how do you use this asset to work within other parts of the company? So we might use it to further the agenda on discussions on mental health. So we might look at some of the artworks which are articulating these ideas and exploring these themes. And so we start with, yes, an artist talking about what motivates them, what they're experimenting with, what they're trying to say through their work. And then that is like a precursor, a sort of a jumping off point then to continue the discussion on a wider level through the company. But like anything, if you have an emotional connection to something, then the rest of the conversations you're going to be experiencing on a much deeper level. So you walk into an exhibition or a gallery, you watch a great film, you know, there's an emotional response. And I think the art can actually be very helpful in sort of continuing that from an empathy point of view.
And just to be clear, the artworks you said so they deliberately engage with artists who have a social engagement theme, let's say. And so these are new works of art that have been commissioned deliberately to try and foster conversation amongst employees around what are very difficult themes and aren't necessarily, I mean, they are work related, they're not necessarily specific work related, but that's about how we get our work done rather than the actual work itself. So I think that's, rather than going out, you know, out of house, so to say, and buying artworks, you've deliberately framed the art around the issues that the company wanted to tackle.
Yes, and this came out very much at the early stages of planning the art programme. We sort of created an art committee, important to have certain people on there, so somebody from the building estates and someone who's sort of in sort of facilities management, internal comms, you know, what messages are you trying to get across to your company, the HR, because it's essentially behavioural change and different ways of doing things, and some senior members and people who actively have an interest in art and design and want to be part of the process. So that's the starting point. Establish what the ambitions are, and I will help frame that by giving opportunities for, or just giving examples of, you know, how we can achieve things through the art. So this temporary exhibition will eventually become another tool. So it's a tool for engaging people socially. So you might have a meet the artist tour, so which we'd have to do digitally, where the artist will take you around their workshop, show you them working in real time, and it's a very nice social event which brings people together. Another thing they will be doing is workshops. So we'll be working with the artists in the collections, whether they're permanent or temporary, who will be physically delivering creative workshops, whether it's contemporary and conceptual photography or printmaking or poetry. So that would be a way of bringing maybe smaller teams together, teams that really have to work together well, know each other well, and find everyone needs opportunities to bring people together, whether it's after work drinks. It's just a different way of doing it, and actually the effects are more long lasting and more interesting, because if you're sitting next to a colleague and you're doing the same task, isn't it really interesting to see how different people approach the same task? It tells you a lot about each other.
And that's the tie back to the engagement and innovation that you, and also diversity of thought, I guess, and ways in approaching. So you're saying that's a team building. Not only is it a team building mechanism, but it's also a way in which to improve what this firm is doing vis-a-vis its clients, which is how you link it to productivity. Am I following the logic of that right?
Yes. Well, if people are happy and they're engaged, they're more productive. If they're connected to the company culture, and there's a sense of belonging, they're more productive. And you can do all this through the vehicle of art, whether they're standalone pieces which represent the company culture, or they're just an ongoing program which feeds into that. So, for instance, with a company we're working with, they wanted to showcase diversity of thought, diversity of outlook as a strength within the company. And we did this through an AI piece, and we engaged globally with the company. The theme of landscape was already prevalent in existing collections, and what we had also planned to do to sort of support that. And we asked everybody to send us photographs of their landscape, where they were, whether they were urban, back garden, down by the river, seascape. I mean, we were all in global lockdown, so people were actually spending quite a bit of time outside taking their hour long exercise. And it was a really nice way to sort of feel connected to the company at the same time while everyone was locked down and not actually physically in the office. To do this project at that time was a really good way of bringing everybody together. So ultimately, this piece became a portrait of diversity for the company. So the company created the data set of images that the algorithms would then refer to when they wanted to learn everything. I say they, it wanted to learn everything about landscape. So it learned everything about landscape in that particular data set, which was very particular to this company. And then it starts to generate its own artwork. And the final artwork is a video, it's a film, which is now played on the screens in the reception and will be rolled out through their global offices. We're also going to be presenting it on the screens in the client meeting rooms and in some of the breakout spaces on the working floors as a screensaver, which then you override once you start to use the IT facilities. But the actual output is just the most beautiful original work of art created just from the combined assets of this company. And it's these landscapes that the AI algorithm is creating you would have never seen before, because they're brand new based on the data set. So it's a really beautiful way to articulate diversity. Very engaging.
You're almost blowing my mind in a really good way. So, but you said it was a video. So sorry, is it a video of images which the AI has created based on all the individual images that people submitted? Is that right?
Yeah, so you can imagine, it's obviously very difficult to describe something so visual, but if you can imagine sort of a mountainscape kind of almost growing, and then those mountains, because they bear some resemblance to maybe a tree shape that the algorithm has learned, that might then be the next landscape that it bleeds into, and then then it might bleed into a seascape. But they're creating landscapes you've never seen. And it's in that way where it kind of dances from one landscape to the next is extraordinarily beautiful. In fact, we did take some stills from it and print it out onto fine art paper, some of these really amazing landscapes. And they're around the client-facing spaces as a way for that story to be told and for those who are bringing their clients in to sort of talk about this diversity project and be able to tell the story.
And I think there's a few things in there that, so I've got about three questions. I'll see if I can do it simply. But I mean, I think was one thing you said, which maybe just to pick up on, you said it's hard to describe in words. And I guess that's part of the point. The point being that if we're trying to articulate a vision, a culture, productivity, what happens to be, we need more than just words on a page. And what you and this company have done is created something very visual. So that obviously uses other senses that we have to help move that agenda along. And then you're saying, by putting it up on the walls, and in this case, you said in client areas, that's a way of connecting with the client, which is your networking point. And it's also a way of talking about the culture of the business, which is something that, that people need to articulate. Is that, and the values of the business, is that the connection between the kind of the internal networking and the external, and talking about the business in a very different way to normal?
Absolutely. And that's why we need to see the artwork as a tool. It's not just a nice to have. We've got to put something on the walls. It's art that works for you. And if you plan it properly with the right people involved, it really truly can be a reflection of the culture, and it can be a mechanism and a vehicle for bringing people together, engaging and showcasing diversity. Or even the whole concept of diversity is to have a variety of voices. It's something that supports innovation. The more diverse voices and opinions and points of view you have, the more creative and innovative that group will be. So it's a real celebration of that. But it's also, and this, the exhibition I was talking about earlier, is a huge diversity of voices and approaches, but also it's an international collection. So there's artists from all over the world in this collection, from Turkey to Australia, obviously the UK, and, you know, all around, so that you are getting cultural diversity within the artwork as well. So essentially it boils down to sort of several sort of different toolkits. You've got what we like to call the socially engaged artist dialogues as a way of bringing those conversations to life, and a way of bringing people together, promoting empathy and diversity in that kind of, in those conversations. So that's actually a really good tool. You've got the workshops. So that's a way of exercising creativity. So exercising those creative behaviours. So if you don't exercise those behaviours, you're less chance of being a creative thinker and being innovative. Then you've got those commissions, which either could be team-led or company-wide, which are a way of, again, bringing people together, but going through a creative process. And, you know, these sort of changeover exhibitions, which encourage people to have an opinion on a work. So we would be asking people at the end of that year, which works shall we keep for the permanent collection? So the permanent collection gets built over 5 years, and it becomes a really strong collection of works on paper by socially engaged artists.
Well, and I think maybe just to emphasize, but you talked at the beginning about a poem. So you've got, when we talk about art in this context, you're talking about poetry, you're talking about, you know, you talked about a digital tool, the artist showing you how he's creating his work. So you've got video art. You've then got the output that you actually put on the walls, which is art in the, maybe in the more traditional sense, but it's non-traditional art because it's been created in a very different way. So I guess by being creative across all the different mediums of art and across the company, geographically described, having a committee made up of people from various different parts of the business, you get diversity, and over time you can change that and create more as maybe those things you want to engage with change or develop. I love this idea of using AI as part of that, because that's one of the big issues. I could talk to you about this for hours, but I really want to try and wrap it up. And I think that was what you just said was a really nice way of sort of describing the different stages of it. So maybe, you know, if we go to a kind of a final question, I mean, you really are touching on so many things that are absolutely front and center in all the discussions we now have about back into a physical office and what that means for people. But how do you see this developing over the, or how would you like to see it developing over the next, you know, 1 to 2 years? Do you see it as something that can really engage people in the physical office and yes, get people more productive, which is at the end of the day what we want when they're in the office?
Absolutely. I mean, we all know that a lot of companies are moving to a hybrid solution of working, where those who just come in to work on a screen can equally do that at home. The thing that is missing, obviously, is that collaboration. So you might, and that sort of making the commute worth it moments. So it's about when you do get people to come together, whether it's as a team or you're working on certain projects, those collaborative moments are really enhanced. And they can be through workshops. I think the physical work, you know, come in, do some work. We'll have lunchtime workshops on certain days of the week or once a month. Digitally, we can connect with the whole community when everyone's working remotely through sort of a digital engagement approach. So you can meet the artist digitally. You can have the talks, the tours. I think it's really important to have those reasons to come into the office and to make those exciting. But it's not just about trying to persuade people to come and do something nice. There's so many benefits associated with creativity and creative culture. I mean, it's, what is a creative culture? A creative culture identifies and values creativity, and workplaces with creative cultures recognize creativity as a highly desirable soft skill, and these companies tactfully nurture and encourage it to flourish. And the way to do it is to recognize that this culture comes from the bottom up. It's actually, you know, we're not just tooling the sort of executive level. The creativity's got to come right from the bottom up through the company.
Catherine, I think that's really interesting. A great place to finish, working from the from the bottom up rather than the top down. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. As I said, I could talk to you for hours about this stuff. And so maybe we'll have a chance to build on this in a future podcast. But thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And before you go, thanks very much for listening. And it would be great if you could leave a rating and any comments you have on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. All feedback is a great way to support the What's Next in Corporate Real Estate podcast and to get great guests to share their knowledge with you and everyone else who listens. Thanks very much.